Hello, friends, and welcome to episode number 258 of Bad Flips and Maple Dips. I'm Patrick, he's Justin. Not a bad weekend for the Toronto Blue Jays. Of course, they are no longer in a wild card spot as of now, but we just got to play our games and win them, right? That's pretty much it.
That's all you can do.
That is all you can do. There's nothing we can do about Seattle winning 99 games in a row or whatever it is at this point. It's just insane. Their record is so good the last 6 weeks. Good for them. There's really not much else to say. We're going to recap the series that just happened against the Reds. We'll preview the biggest series of the year to date. Orioles versus Jays. And we're going to talk about... You know what we're going to talk about today? I'm throwing this at you without even a moment to prepare. We're going to talk about Yenesis Cabrera.
Sure.
All right, let's get right into the good shit. But if you like what we do, you can find us on X at BFMD Podcast. Website, BFMDpodcast.com. I cannot wait for that platform to collapse, my friend. I'm counting down the days. Anyway, let's talk about news and injury updates. What do you got for me?
For sure. So last week we talked about guys who were coming off the IL. The Jays did get Bichette, Kiermaier, and Trevor Richards back. Chad Green is not back yet, but maybe tomorrow. Bowden Francis, of course, pitched three innings and got the 9-out save on Sunday. So he may go down just since he just pitched three innings and only had one day off. I'm not sure if they'll keep him on their roster for that reason alone, but we'll see. But all being said, like, Chad Green's very close now. He's should be back in a matter of days, if not tomorrow. Injury update. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., of course, left yesterday's game with left middle finger discomfort after he kind of took a wild swing and lost his grip on the bat. They're saying that the Blue Jays are saying that he's not expected to miss any time, saying he's day-to-day at the moment. I guess we'll see when the lineup comes out tomorrow, if he's in or if there's any other updates on it. You're just glad it's not. Hopefully there's no like torn ligaments or something in a finger, because that's a long-term injury, especially for a batter and a first baseman. So could have been a lot worse by the sounds of it. So luckily for the Blue Jays, Vlad is okay.
I'm trying really hard to not make excuses for Vladdy this year. He's had a tough one. Everything's down. But the thing is, he's been consistent. 260, he's hitting 265 in the air. That's what he's hit the last seven games, approximately. That's what he's hit the last 15 games, approximately. It's just, I mean, the walks are there. The strikeout is you know, the walk and strikeout rate there, that I have no beef with that, but the power is just, it's not there at all. Do you think maybe he's playing injured?
I'm not sure, because I mean, there's actually an article that came out on MLB.com. It has 11 theories explaining Vlad's confusing 2023 season, and I was reading through them, and I mean, the number one theory is that it's all just bad luck, because I mean, he's got the second most hard hit balls, only behind Ronald Acuña Jr. in all of Major League Baseball this season. But the problems being that when he is hitting the ball hard, for some reason the ball isn't going as far. A lot of that's to deal with launch angle, of course. Doesn't matter if you're hitting the piss out of the ball. If you're hitting it too low, it's not going to be hit for
a home run anymore.
Or hit even for a base hit, you know? So, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, looking at his like exit velos and the distance that they're going, when he hits the ball 110 plus miles per hour, the ball is only traveling an average of 341 feet. Last year was 371. 2021 was 388.
So he's lost like
40 feet. Yeah, he's lost 40 feet, which is he's losing out on home runs. So it's just a lot of launch angle issues. So, I mean, the common theories are that, I mean, it's bad luck. It's the launch angle. I mean, we've all seen it, but if you look at it, I mean, he still hits the ball hard. So
he does. Yeah. I mean, this is probably the worst season he'll have. Cause he's the kind of guy who will grind out extra BPs, whatever it takes, hitting off a tee. We've seen it this year.
Yeah.
I don't remember if this was on the podcast or not. We discussed work ethic. I think it might've been off the podcast. And that notion was immediately dispelled for me, learning about what these guys do
yeah.
in their free time. This is not a work ethic issue. I will say, if I may, pitch selection is not as conservative with Vladdy as it once was. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's because he is opening his zone a little bit because he wants to get the hit. I'm not sure what it is, but he swung at a lot of outside pitches this year in timely moments. I mean, everybody does. But I wonder if pitch selection, maybe he was encouraged or coached to, be a little less conservative with his pitch selection. If that was the case, that's a mistake. Vladdy thrives when he gets his pitch. And if he's not waiting for his pitch, he's swinging at crap. And if he's swinging at crap, he's not going to get under it quite the same way as he would a pitch that he is sitting on, right?
Yeah.
I see it as that. I've been watching the game days, the Ks, which don't come very often, or the ground outs, whatever they may be. It's outside stuff. And I think Vladdy has to make those adjustments. You're almost better off if the count is 3-2 and you know you're getting a slider. Unless it's like right in the zone, it's better to get caught looking than it is to just, dribble a ball to the shortstop or third baseman and have to run out an easy ground out, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's easy for us to say that, though, because we're not at the plate and we don't see what these guys see.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm. One of the other theories in this article was, I mean, he's not been able to hit the four-seam fastball this year for any amount of production. He's actually got a -1 run value against that pitch this year, whereas back in his monster 2021 season, he was a +34. He hit .385 on fastballs that year. He's hitting .257 this year with a K percentage of just about of 23.5%. We'll just say that's the number.
I think that tells me his whole approach is fucked.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. It's like he's not pulling the ball quite as much anymore. But the other thing, it's like we don't think he's injured, because he probably wouldn't have participated and won in the home run derby if he was injured. And
yeah, you're right.
It's just, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, his sprint speed has slowed down a little bit. I mean, he was 45th percentile 2 years ago. Now he's 26th. His defense has gotten a little bit worse this year. So, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of conditioning that has to go on again. And I mean, yeah, people are just kind of the other speculation here too, is it's just, like you said, it's the approach, right? It's just,
which I wouldn't blame Vladdy on. I'm not blaming Vladdy. I'm blaming the coaching, which we have done. We've been very vocal about our concerns about the approach of all the players on this team, which I think comes down to coaching. I have no beef whatsoever with the pitching coaches this year, even mm-hmm. though you can say what you want to say about Pete Walker and the foolishness off the field. When it comes to his job, how can you complain? This is the best starting rotation, at least in the division. Top five in MLB, for sure. It's number one or number two in ERA. The bullpen, this is the best bullpen I think I've ever seen for the Toronto Blue Jays.
In my lifetime, I think so. Besides the lifetime that I remember, it has been, yes.
But like, Bowden Francis gave up one run in when he got us nine outs for the nine-out save on Saturday. But other than that, Yeah, like, am I going to be mad that Jordan Hicks gave up a home run in the ninth and we lost that game? Yeah, I'm going to be mad about that, but, like, Jesus Christ.
It was 0-0, so, I mean,
it was 0-0.
Runs.
Yeah, exactly. If we're up 2-0, we probably win that game, but there was no run support, which is my beef for this team the whole year, is a lack of run support. But we'll talk about that some other time.
Yeah.
I have no beef at all. This is the best bullpen I think we've ever had. And it's only been a couple of times in the last 3 weeks where they've given up a run. And it's not their fault if we lose a game 2-1 or 1-0.
Yeah, it's not like it was the beginning of last season or 2 years ago where the bullpen was routinely coughing up games, right? It hasn't happened very often this year. And a lot of times when it has, like with Jordan Hicks on Friday night, it's because the offense hasn't given them any run support. Like, what are you going to do? It's 0-0 in the bottom of the ninth. You give up a home run. Like, you lose because your team didn't score you any runs. It sucks that Hicks gave up a home run. It's going to happen. Sucks that it happened when it did. But, I mean, the offense didn't do anything to stop that from ending the game. So, it is what
it is. Our bullpen is really buoyed by having a bunch of specialists who can log innings. Like, you look at Tim Mesa. I'm telling you, man, I can't say enough good things about this guy. He's 1.05 ERA in 42 innings pitched for us. Mm-hmm. Yenesis Cabrera, who we'll talk about in a minute. Ever since he came on this team, he's been unbelievable. Zero earned runs.
Yeah. And he hasn't walked a batter yet.
Yeah. Well, actually, he has. He's walked two batters.
Both intentional walks. Those don't. They mentioned
that. They don't count in the stats. Weekend.
They do show up as a walk rate, but they were both intentional walks. They weren't ball fours, you know.
He's only given up 5 hits since he joined us. That's with an ERA of 0. No complaints. There's nothing we can say about that. But like, this is the best pitching we've seen. The hitting has been so disappointing. That I honestly, Vladdy's woes, I think we could chalk them up to just a bad approach to the plate, bad luck, and like you said,
I think
launch angle.
Yeah, launch angle, and I mean it might be time to just maybe believe that 2021. I don't want to say it was a fluke, but there have been other guys that have had that one like really good year in their career. That article actually mentioned Bryce Harper's 22-year-old season when he had an OPS plus of 198 and hit 42 home runs with an OPS just under 1,000. He's had a really good career since, but he's never been able to replicate that season fully again.
I was going to say Bryce Harper has had an OPS over 800 every single season.
Yeah, but it hasn't been
that he's played that, since then.
Yeah, it hasn't been that and those quite those numbers, right? I mean, Bryce Harper's and like Vladdy's season is still he's still having what other players would consider to be a good year. Like he's got his OPS plus is above average. It's really just been the power that's kind of dragged him down to the point where we're talking about it all the time.
Yeah, my concern, like at this point, he's played himself into a long-term contract that doesn't make us bust the bank.
Yeah.
And in a way, that's a small mercy because no matter how well he hits the rest of this year, and then there's next year, right? And then that's it?
Yes, that's right. There's 2 more years. Like there's next year and then the year after that. They have 2 more years of control.
Thing is, like, now is the time to negotiate a big, long contract with Vladdy. He's not going to want to do it because he's been bad, but if he gets an offer that's like 10 years, $160 million, is he really going to turn that down? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's tough for him, but it's great for the Toronto Blue Jays team because every dollar that we don't have to spend on signing Bo or Vladdy to these massive long-term deals means we can spread the wealth around and be able to maintain our catching tandem indefinitely. You know, we'll be able to reload when Springer retires. We'll be able to, you know, replace Matt Chapman, either with Matt Chapman or with somebody better. We'll be able to, you know, phase out Santiago Espinals and take on the Orelvis Martinez's. there's so many possibilities if we have the money to spend. And we talked about this a little bit last time with contracts, is that Vladdy is kind of playing himself into a worse contract than maybe what he had hoped for 2 years ago.
Yeah. But let's talk about these games against Cincinnati quickly. We already talked about the first one. 1-0 loss.
Garbage.
Saturday, Bo Bichette was activated. He came back. He was 1-for-5. Actually drove in a run. The winning run was delivered on a Davis Schneider home run.
Yeah.
Get to see him get a big hit. He kind of been struggling for struggling to get hits, at least for the last like 7 games he had played in, but still nice to see him get back on the score sheet there. Chris Bassett gave another quality start, Patrick. 6 innings, 3 runs. Only 2 of them were earned because one was given up on a fielding area by throwing error by Biggio. It was actually on a triple to Ellie De La Cruz that turned into a little league home run because the throw to third base was wild and De La Cruz was able to score. But another 10,000 from the Bassetts to Jay's care for a win there in the game that he starts. So
you love to see it.
Love to see that. The bullpen was solid. Richards came back, gave up 2 hits over 1/3 of an inning, but Meza was able to come in and bail him out. Jordan Hicks had a bounce back game. He struck out 2 batters in the clean inning, and then Jordan Romano gave up a walk and a hit, but was able to get the save and keep the Jays in front in that one. 4-3 You like to see that. Team was 4-for-7 with runners in scoring position in that game, so really good results there. And then Sunday, and we talked about this on our last episode when we were previewing it. It was Hunter Green's first start off the injured list in 2 months. And we said the Blue Jays needed to look for the fastball and take advantage of it. And boy, did they ever. They hit 5 home runs in the game. Brandon Belt had 2 home runs. Bo Bichette went yard. Kevin Kiermaier went yard. And George Springer also went yard, I believe, if I remember correctly. Yes, Springer went yard as well. So they gave up. It was the second time in Green's career he gave up 5 home runs. He gave up 10 hits, 9 runs, 8 of them earned, 3 walks, and the 5 homers in only 3 innings. And it took him 90 pitches to get through those 3 innings. So the Jays really pounded the piss out of him. And then again, Ryu was really good over 5 innings. He was able to scatter 4 hits. The 2 runs he gave up were both unearned. Throwing error by Matt Chapman and a throwing error by Vladdy. Ryu only walked 1 batter and he struck out 7. So, I mean,
his stuff is back.
Yeah, it's back. The velocity is a little bit down for most of the start, but in his last inning, he actually touched 90 with the fastball. It was literally the only time in the game he was kind of sitting 86, 87, but was able to get one up to 90. And I mean, with Tommy John, it does usually take guys a little bit of time to get their velo back. And I mean, Ryu was only throwing 89 or 91 before he had the injury. So we'll never expect him to obviously throw mid-90s. That's not who he is. But the fact that he was able to dot that changeup and he's throwing 67 mile an hour curveballs, was that Greinke specials? And like it was really nice. It was really fun to watch. He was kind of carving up those batters and making them look foolish while the other guy was throwing 100 and getting the living piss hit out of him. So,
It's worth noting. Yeah. maybe the last time we ever see Joey Votto play the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
He went 0-for-11 with a walk.
Yeah, and he's got an option year after this season, but the team's not going to pick it up, I don't think. So it's a $20 million option with a $7 million.
Uncharacteristic rough game for Ellie De La Cruz as well on Sunday. He had 2 errors, and then he went 0-for-4 with 2 Ks. It was just...
Yeah, he had a really hot start. But he has cooled off quite a bit. I think pitchers have figured out that he's willing to chase a lot, and Ryu was able to victimize him a little bit there. And I mean, Ryu was victimizing everybody.
It was awesome.
Bullpen was once again solid. I mean, we got 1 inning from Yenesis Cabrera, who we're going to talk about in a moment. And then Bowden Francis picked up the old-fashioned 9-out save.
I want everybody to Google Bowden Francis, and I want you all to look at his MLB picture. And if you've ever seen the show Superstore, he looks just like Bo from Superstore. It's with his little crustache.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he sure does.
It's uncanny.
He put a hat on him, and yeah.
But I mean, Bo. A 9 outs and only 1 earned run
Yeah, it was on the solo and, homer.
Yeah, and what amounts to garbage time, I'll take it. That's the four old, Ks.
The old school rule where if a reliever records nine outs in a game, they're deemed to have been nine quality outs by the official score, they get awarded a nine out save. So that's pretty.
You'll love to see. Love to see that. And you know what's funny is we thought Francis was going to be the guy who got sent down when Richards hit the lineup. But obviously with Chad Green now coming back, that meant two guys didn't have to go down. So Jay Jackson caught the call down. It sucks. But I mean, on the bright side, as soon as the September rolls around and the rosters expand.
Yeah.
Jay Jackson will be the first guy to come up, and it wouldn't even be a surprise if he gets the call up immediately and they send Francis down because he just threw, 47 pitches to get those nine outs. So, I mean,
it's actually pretty efficient.
It is, but he's probably cooked for a few days.
He
so
might be down for another game. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jackson gets a call back up because Francis still has options.
Yeah. One thing they were mentioning during the Sunday game too, Patrick, was the fact that, even though Alec Manoah was optioned down to AAA, he's actually still in Toronto. They haven't actually sent him to Buffalo yet. They're still kind of figuring out what exactly they want to do with Manoah, if he's going to report to Buffalo and pitch, or if they might even just send him back to the complex. And they were even saying, like, Dan and Buck were talking about it, like, hey, like if something were to happen to one of the guys in the rotation, it might actually be Bowden Francis who replaces them as a spot starter right at this point in time, because Manoah hasn't been good. So it's an interesting conversation they're having, but I just wanted to relay that. I wasn't sure if you had caught that part of the broadcast or not.
I didn't. Just as a follow-up to the Alec Manoah stuff, him being in Toronto, there's a quote here from Keegan Matheson at Keegan Matheson on X. The hashtag Blue Jays are trying to figure out, or quote, figure out the right time physically, I think, in terms of delivering things like that, end quote, Schneider says, for when he'll start to pitch in AAA Buffalo. I think you're right. They haven't sent him down to report yet because they're just waiting.
Yeah. He has been optioned. He's technically on the Buffalo Bisons roster, but they haven't actually sent them to Buffalo yet.
Honestly, I don't see why they don't have him log as many innings as possible.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know. The issue is that, do you want logging just more shitty innings, or do you rather them figure out what's going on with the delivery behind the scenes and just have them start fresh next season?
Send them to the lab. I'm all for that.
Like to see. Just get him to the complex. Let him figure his shit out in the bullpen. He can still throw pitches in his side session in the bullpen and keep himself stretched out, I guess, quote unquote. But I mean, I don't think they rushed him back. They for sure did. It was handled almost as bad as the Anthony Rizzo concussion situation at the Yankees. AO. Not exactly, but I just wanted to throw a dig at the Yankees in there.
Yeah, but they've lost like seven games in a row. They deserve it.
Yeah, they're falling out of it, and you love to see it.
Garbaggio.
Let's talk about the Orioles, then we'll chat about Yenesis Cabrera for a few minutes here. Yusei Kikuchi against Grayson Rodriguez tomorrow night, Patrick. Kevin Gausman against Jack Flaherty on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, it's Jose Berríos versus Dean Kremer. All those games are at 7:05 Eastern time. No afternoon baseball on Thursday, which is too bad because I always love a good afternoon game during the week. These are some juicy pitching matchups. What you could argue right now are probably the top three starters on these two teams, just based on recent performance. Kikuchi has been, I guess you could say, a revelation this year.
He's been the best pitcher, I think, in the American League in the last 21 days.
Since the All-Star break, I think he has some of the best numbers in a lot of starting pitching categories. Him, Gausman, and Berríos all have 9 wins on the season. It'd sure be nice if we could get them all to 10 wins this week. You know, just throw that out there, Blue Jays bats. If you can score some runs, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I like this. I like how they have this set up. It's nice to see you get the lefty who throws hard. He's been pounding the zone all year, getting lots of strikeouts. We know what Gausman can do. He can strike out a ton of batters as well. And then Berríos has done a great job of limiting hits recently. He only gave up one hit against the Reds on that start on Friday. He did walk 4 batters, but it was only one hit over just about 6 innings. So been doing a really good job of limiting balls in play and kind of resolving things in a timely fashion. Rodriguez has been good recently. Flaherty's been decent since they acquired him, and Dean Kremer's been relatively very solid for the Orioles all season. So they've also got Cedric Mullins back off the injured list, so we haven't seen him too much this season, but he's back now too. So the Orioles and the Blue Jays, as long as Vladdy's in the lineup, we should see both teams at pretty much full strength here. So it'll be an interesting showdown.
It's hard not to be excited about it, considering.
You sound excited.
They're bad. Well, I mean, like, they're. It's frustrating because I wanted the sweep because Seattle has taken over the spot. But I was just really disappointed with the bats in the first game. That really sucked the wind right out of my sails. But good bounce back W's. Just having a quick browse of the Orioles starters. I mean, we've previewed Kremer twice.
Yeah, we did Flaherty like two
weeks
ago.
We did Flaherty already.
Rodriguez too, so.
Yeah, so I don't have much to add to this except to say that these are three of the best pitching matchups we might see for a couple weeks, because I think our schedule gets a little bit squishy after this. I think it's a little bit softer.
It does, yeah.
I think this... The Jays have to treat this series right here, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, as like their playoffs. Like, this has to be like, you have to leave it all out there.
You have to win 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I mean, I would even argue
it's
that
a wild card game.
You kind of got to win all of them, in a way.
I mean,
because
that would be nice, because then you don't quite have to give up on the division yet. I mean, the Orioles are 8 games ahead right now. So I mean,
That's doable. We have a ton
of
games
half,
left.
Excuse me. So, I mean, if you can get a sweep here, then, I mean, you're 5.5 back. Tampa's 5.5 ahead of the Blue Jays right now, too. So I'm not sure, like, what to make out of that. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where the Jays, if they can make up any ground. But, I mean, it starts with winning some games against the American League East. And you have a game. You have 3 games this week, so.
They have 18 games left against the American League East. They're currently 11-23. These are the last 3 games against Baltimore.
Yeah, so that's even more important.
Kicked the absolute shit out of us this year. We're 2-8 against them. So you're not going to get back to 500, and you're not going to get back to 500 against Boston either. We're 3-7 against them. So
with only 3 games left against
Boston.
Only
3. Too. Yeah, exactly. We have 6 left against the Yankees, who look hopeless. And then Tampa, who are just, I don't know, they've just been sputtering for so long.
There's the last 12 games of the season are New York, Tampa on the road, and then New York, Tampa at home. So it's...
That could be it.
And then Boston's the 3 before that. So, I mean, your last 15 games are all against your own division. And Boston's still hanging around the wild card race, not too far behind the Blue Jays. And
I do think...
The Yankees are pretty far out of it now.
If the Orioles win a single one of these games, I think that sews up Toronto's chances at the division title, even if they stomp the rest of them, just because it's just too many.
Too many games to make up. Yeah.
Too many games to make up. But not to be overly negative, on the positive side, the Jays still have a healthy number of games left in August. They're 10-8. Only 3-5 at home, though.
Yeah,
so those games against.
Got shit pumped at home.
That's right. And now they're in Baltimore for these 3 games, and then they come back to play the Guardians and the Nationals. So, like, ideally, with 9 games left in August, you're 10-8. Man, you gotta be thinking you have to win 16 games in August, I think, just to keep.
Yeah, if you can go 6-3.
If you can go 6-3 in your last 9, that's a lot.
2 out of 3 in every series.
That's doable, especially against the Nationals and the Guardians, who are kind of folding up shop.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, after Baltimore, you've got home against Cleveland and Washington, and then on the road in Colorado and Oakland, and then home again for Kansas City. So you've got 5 series after Baltimore against teams who are deeply out of playoff contention. You've got
and
to win a lot of those games, because then it gets difficult. Every game after that is hard.
From game 132 to 140, so those 9 games.
Yep.
You gotta pummel those teams. You gotta pummel the Guardians to finish their season off. And then you get the distinguished honor of having to play the juggernaut Texas Rangers at home for four games. I'm really hoping that the Jays can pull it off. But those Rangers are really good, and they are. See,
they've lost four in a row. They
yeah,
are,
they've cooled off, but they're still
they're struggling a little bit. They've had some injuries to deal with, and I mean, Seattle and Houston are 2.5 and 3 back respectively now. So that division is still up for grabs big time. And I mean, one of those teams obviously makes the playoffs as the division winner, but it's not even a guarantee that Houston or Seattle make the playoffs, right? I mean, the Jays are one game back at Houston, half back at Seattle. Then the Red Sox are still lurking at 3 games back of Seattle as well. So it is still feasible that you could see 4 teams in the American League East make it. Right now there's only 2 teams in the AL East in the playoffs and 3 from the West. So, I mean, it's still possible that the East ends up passing Houston and Seattle. Toronto and Boston still, in theory, both could. But that division is going to be a bit of a dogfight between those 3 teams as well because they still have games left against each other. So.
Yeah, and one of the key differences, I think, for Toronto, other than their hitting, is going to be the quality effort that they keep getting from their bullpen.
Yep.
And I think we've got to give credit where credit is due. We've got to talk about one of the guys that we acquired in a trade before the deadline. It's Yenesis Cabrera. Yenesis does what Nintendo don't. Do you remember those commercials?
Yeah, I sure
are
do.
Okay.
Sega Genesis, baby.
Man, Yenesis does. This guy has been... so good for us since we acquired him. I think we've already talked about this, but we're going to talk about it again. In 14 appearances in 13.1 innings pitched, no earned runs, 2 walks, 11 strikeouts, a 0.53 whip. You couldn't ask for anything more from this guy. A total turnaround from his work in St. Louis where
he
was just...
Do you
want to
know what the big difference is?
Are you about to tell me pitch selection?
Sinker usage. He used his sinker. They showed this on the broadcast yesterday, and I took a picture of my TV. So I was like, oh, I need this. It's
all right.
He only threw his sinker 10% of the time as a Cardinal. He's throwing it 29% of the time since he joined the Blue Jays, Patrick. So
it's because it's good.
It's a good sinker. He's been getting a shit ton of balls on the ground. We mentioned that he has a 4% walk rate with the Blue Jays, but those were both intentional walks. He hasn't given up a walk via pitch via ball four yet and has yet to give up a run. The whip is 0.49 as a Blue Jay. I seem to remember, I'm gonna look it up. I think Chris Black did a really good thread when they had acquired him. We talk about Chris's threads a lot. Of course, he is a producer for Sportsnet. It was probably him who put those stats on the TV yesterday.
For sure.
It sure was. Yeah, it actually was him. He actually has a tweet on his timeline about it. So yep. Guarantee it was him. But I mean, it's the biggest thing he talked about is the Cardinals, outside of Nolan Arenado, up the middle, they have really bad defense. And there's a lot of times when ground balls were going through that probably shouldn't have been. Alejandro Kirk is a very good framer. Danny Jansen's not a bad pitch framer. But both catchers that the Cardinals have, Andrew Kisner and Wilson Contreras, are not good framers. So, I mean, it's just been a really... a set of circumstances similar to the reason that Vladdy has struggled, that the same or there are reasons why Cabrera has done the opposite since he came to the Blue Jays. It's just sometimes circumstances matter. You go from a team who doesn't field the ground balls well. We know that Matt Chapman typically vacuums up a lot of stuff to third base. Santiago Espinal, Whit Merrifield, whoever's at second base, Kevin Biggio, they do a pretty good job of vacuuming up some ground balls. And then Bichette's been better at shortstop in terms of range this year, and of course Vladdy and Belty are both serviceable defenders at first base as well too. So you go from a team with poor defense to a team that has 4 guys who I would say are average, if not a little bit above average, at all their positions. It makes a big difference. And then of course you have the outfield defense in Toronto, which is just tremendous as well. So if you do give up a ball in the air, it's a good chance it's going to get caught. So there's a lot of circumstances that have led to it. But the pitch selection of using that sinker more is definitely one of the big things.
We're going to talk a little bit more about Yenesis because he's got 3 things going for him that I think make him a guy who's going to stay with this team for a long time as long as he continues to perform as expected. For one thing, he's 26 years old. He's going to turn 27 by the end of the season. So he's young. He's got 2 more years of arbitration before he becomes an unrestricted free agent, so he's got term.
Yep.
And number three, guess what he does? He's a lefty. He's taken a lot of pressure off Tim Mesa, who continues to just blow my friggin' mind as far as his lethalness. And I mean lethal. Tim Mesa, this isn't a Tim Mesa segment, but these two guys pair up really well. One of them is a little bit older than the other, but they both have the same arbitration, 2 years left of arbitration before they become free agents. Mesa, of course, if he continues to pitch like this, is going to be on the team. And same can be said about Yenesis Cabrera. I love having two lefties in the pen because we didn't really have that all year. Or if we had another lefty, they were probably struggling a lot. But Mesa went from blowing out his arm and possibly his career being over forever to coming back and having a great 2021 comeback season. And then he came back and had an even better 2022. And then he came back after that and had an even better 2023. Now, the whip has come up a very slight amount in that time, but his effectiveness, it's ridiculous. And the same, I think, is what we're hoping for with Yenesis Cabrera, where he gets to take advantage of the pitches that he knows how to throw and get him to like lean into his strengths, which is, like you said, the sinker.
So I'm looking again at just pitch usage by month even this season. So obviously the Jays acquired him right at the end of July. So his July pitch uses, Patrick, because he actually used his slider the most. It was at 36.4%. The four-seam fastball was second at 31%, and the sinker was only at 19.4%. This month, the four-seam fastball has gone up from 31% to just about 35%, so about 4% increase.
Yep.
The sinker, of course, has gone up from 19.4% to 28.4%. And the slider has fallen to his third pitch from 36.4% down to 22%. He's all but abandoned the changeup. It's down to 1.8% after being at 5% last month.
He's probably thrown it twice.
Yeah, then the curveball's gone up from 7.8% to 12.8%. So it's been less sliders, more four-seamers, more sinkers, and a few more curveballs than in the past. But I think it's important for lefties. I mean, we talked about it with Kikuchi. It's great if you have a great slider, but you have to be able to set it up with your fastball. And he averages 96 with his fastball. He's got good velocity. So why not throw it why not use the velocity to your advantage, right? He's touched 98 with the fastball. The slider sits in the 90-mile-an-hour range. I mean, why not throw your heater and then use it to set up your off-speed pitches? It seems to be a pretty, simple thought, looking at it from the outside in like we do. But, it's obviously worked. So,
I mean, time and time again, we have seen the Jays absorb a pitcher who is down on their luck and has control and turn them into lethal, a hitman. They go out there. Remember, Brian Baker, we tossed him aside and look at what Baltimore's
doing. Julian Merriweather has been relatively good this year too. And unfortunately, sometimes it just takes a change of scenery for guys to figure it out. A different pitching coach or a different coach somewhere sees something differently. And sometimes that just works for a guy. And you can't fault, not everybody's going to be perfect. So, you can't fault that, but it is nice when it happens to your team, when they get a guy like a Cabrera and turn him into somebody who's actually usable on high leverage. So,
yeah. And the season's not over.
Yeah.
So,
he could give up runs the entire rest of his outings.
It could be, we don't know, but we have to be happy with what we've seen. I would really, the only complaint that I have about anything that the bullpen has done, it was just that one singular home run from Jordan Hicks, which isn't really his fault to begin with. And he's the only guy who's not under contract next year in the pitching staff. So the rest of them we can all sign. I know there were some people, I think, who might have been chatting about this on the subreddit for the Jays, about wondering whether or not Jackson is going to be back next year. And unless they cut him loose, he will be, because he's pre-arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
There was one more thing to chat about before we close the episode right quick. We've been fairly critical of Dalton Vershow as far as his offense this year. He has had a pretty good bounce back. Chris Black at Down to Black, we just mentioned him, tweeted out in the 20 games since Vershow had a mechanical change, he has a 288 average, 364 OBP with a 923 OPS, 7 walks to 11 strikeouts, and his Fangraphs WAR is now higher than Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
Yeah, we won the trade.
So I guess we are now winning the trade. The thing is, this was tweeted today, this afternoon by Chris Black after him noting it on August the 9th. So we've seen a lot more consistency from Dalton Vershow. Again, if you want to look at hilarious pictures, just go to Dalton Vershow's MLB page. I feel like there's like some kind of rule where the newer guys have to have these ridiculous faces. Anyway, we're just so lucky that we've been able to have some of these players come to our team and then turn around a little bit. Yenesis has definitely been exciting. And the fact that we have him for 2 more years at the very least, maybe more. I like our chances against the Orioles with a strong pen, man. We got to get those hits early and often.
Yeah, the bats have to show up like they did yesterday. I messaged you and I said there's only been 5 games this month out of the first 18 where the Blue Jays have scored 5 or more runs.
Oh.
And 3 of those they've hit double digits. And I mean, it's just the inconsistency has been there. They seem to do really well on Sundays for some reason. They've had 3 games this month, I think, where they've scored 10 runs on at least 10 runs on a Sunday. So there's just something about those Sunday afternoon games that the Blue Jays seem to get up for. But it's going to be 3 big evening games in Baltimore. Of course, we mentioned it, 7:05 start times for all of them. Kikuchi against Rodriguez, Gausman against Flaherty, Berríos against Kremer. It's a huge series. Like you said, this might be the biggest series of the season at this very point in time, because you have to beat them. Even if you don't win the division, you have to win these games because you are on the outside looking in now. And if you don't win 2 out of 3, you're at risk of losing even more ground to the surging Mariners, and the Astros could rebound as well. So you've got to keep them in your sights at the very least.
Yep. Any final thoughts before we wrap up? I think I'm all
nope. Think that's
things to say.
I think that's all for us. Yeah. As we said at the top of the episode, give us a follow. I'm still calling it Twitter. If you just call it X, we're at BFMD Podcast. Website, of course, is bfmdpodcast.com. Listen to us wherever you get your shows. Feel free to leave us comments, reviews. Let us know what you think. If there's topics you want us to discuss, if you think if you have your own theory about why Vladdy's been not great this year, let us know. But we'll be back most likely on the weekend. There'll be some games to talk about with Baltimore and Cleveland. But for Patrick out in Halifax, I am Justin here in Saskatoon, and we will see you next time.